We are in the book of Exodus, chapter 30. This is not long after the giving of the Ten Commandments, and Moses is working out all of the particulars as living as God's holy people. Here we're dealing with the priests and trying to get the priests prepared and set up for what they need to do. But I'm beginning at verse 22 in Exodus 30. Follow along, if you will, in your own Bibles, the pew Bibles, or simply in your hearing, but receive with open hearts the word of God. The Lord spoke to Moses, "Take the finest spices of liquid myrrh, 500 shekels, and of sweet-smelling cinnamon, half as much, that is 250, and 250 of aromatic cane, and 500 of cassia, measured by the sanctuary shekel, and a hin of olive oil. And you shall make of these a sacred anointing oil, blended as by the perfumer. It shall be a holy anointing oil. With it you shall anoint the tent of meeting, and the ark of the covenant, and the table, and all of its utensils, and the lampstand, and its utensils, and the altar of incense, and the altar of burnt offering with all of its utensils, and the basin with its stand. You shall consecrate them so that they may be most holy. Whatever touches them will become holy." The word of the Lord, my friends.
Gracious Spirit.
Thank you, Janice and David. No, it does not take two people to be a John. He is under the weather today, so they were pinch hitting there. Thank you for that. We turn now to the Gospel of John. I thought I'd marked it. I guess I didn't. John chapter 9. The first 15 verses, again, receive the word of God, follow along in your hearts. As Jesus walked along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned. He was born blind so that God's works might be revealed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." When he had said this, he spat on the ground and made mud with the saliva and spread the mud on the man's eyes, saying to him, "Go, wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. Then he went and washed and came back able to see. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar began to ask, "Is this not the man who used to sit and beg?" Some were saying, "It is he." Others were saying, "No, but it is someone like him." He kept saying, "I am the man." But they asked him, "Then how were your eyes opened?" He answered, "The man called Jesus made mud, spread it on my eyes, and said to me, 'Go to the Siloam and wash.' Then I went and washed and received my sight." They said to him, "Where is he?" He said, "I don't know." They brought to the Pharisees the man who'd been formerly been blind. It was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. Then the Pharisees also began to ask him how he had received his sight. He said to them, "He put mud on my eyes, then I washed, and now I see." You know, there are some days it's really nice to have a vent up here, where I'm like right under me. This is one of those days, I think. Feels good. But speaking of feeling, I'm sure all of you have heard about that latest COVID variant, Omicron BA5. It's caused a real trouble. And, of course, infections have jumped since July 4th, and sadly, hospitalizations also. The whole pandemic experience has given us much more than we ever bargained for, more than we could have expected, and left a blotch on our shared history forever. I think one of the most difficult aspects of this has been how it has isolated people. Even young people are suffering depression in record numbers, according to a recent report I heard on the radio. That's probably no surprise to you. How we have suffered isolation after isolation is a terrible and tremendous travesty. It's against our very human nature to live separate. The only way I can conceive this is even a good thing is when the case that there's a significant infectious illness. So I understand why we have done this. Nevertheless, it's been brutal to distance ourselves from others. You've probably heard the research about what happens to babies who are not touched in their earliest days. They do not live without tangible human nurture. That's something that stays with us through our life too. As you can well imagine, those who are cut off from others in nursing homes can also suffer from the lack of positive touch. Isolation can end your life. In the past, I made it a point to go around and hold hands with all the people, the residents present when I conducted devotionals at skilled care facilities, but that just hasn't been an option in recent years. It makes me sad. Maybe you have felt some of that pain and this distance that we've been forced to endure. We have felt out of touch as a more troubling literal reality, out of touch. Today, we are visiting the power of touch. It can be a powerful tool of God's love. We need touch, except for maybe being touched in the head. Do people still say that? I don't even know why I know that expression. Maybe I'm touched. I don't know. Regardless, I have Bill Henley to thank for this. So I'm glad you're back there. He challenged me to do a sermon series on the senses. So once I started digging in the Bible, looking at this, it actually was really interesting and profound and beautiful how obvious that God uses all of our senses to really express God's wonder, God's glory, and God's love. The Bible speaks directly to us in the use of the senses in the presence of God, and we'll work our way through them all. I find this interesting. For the first day, we are focusing on touch, which seems to be acutely appropriate in the suffering of these pandemic years. So many of us have become starved for good, healthy, loving touch. It's important for us to be touched because that is a reminder that we matter, that we exist. It's a reminder that we are important enough to make contact with someone else. You may have said you felt touched when someone did something very nice, exceedingly nice for you. But have you ever thought about how God speaks to us through touch? The passages I picked today both have strong messages about touch, but they just tap the surface about how God's love embraces us. The Exodus passage describes Moses setting up that priestly order in all of its things and duties. There had never been priests before, or religious tools, or clothing, or buildings. All of this was new. And what I love about this passage, as they are learning what the job entails, is how they hear that once they're consecrated, once they're made holy, once you have holy things as priests, what they touch also becomes holy. They spread the presence of God's holiness through the gift of touch. What an amazing thing. We don't have priests today like they did back then. And I am very grateful for that, because this outfit would look very different. And it would be probably a lot warmer. No one is offering animals or making those kinds of sacrifices. Also, one of our very important Reformed church principles is that we are a priesthood of all believers. We don't have certain people marked off as the only ones who can be holy or carry out the ministry of God. In fact, we are all given that grace and can carry out God's service, each and every one of us. Imagine how big or how powerful an idea it is to share God's holiness by touching things, especially people. In a way, touch expresses the love language that does not use words. Healthy, loving, compassionate touch is sharing God's goodness in a deep and meaningful way when we dare to connect with others. We give what we have to others and share God's heart. Sadly, through the generations, people have also taken this idea the other direction and tried to not touch those who might make us unclean. The Bible does have this notion too. It's the backdrop for the parable of the Good Samaritan. You know, why the priest and the Levite both go to the other side of the street when they see this person who might be dying or dead in the gutter. They don't want to risk any kind of touching from somebody, from something that might be dead, which would make them unclean. Then, the one who is unclean, the foreigner, the Samaritan, touches the man, dresses the wounds, and gives him good care. He actually shared the spirit of God's holiness in his willingness to touch. Jesus gives us this fascinating and curious story of healing in John's gospel. I don't think this particular story shows up anywhere else, and it's strange because Jesus doesn't just touch the blind man. He could have just, he could have just told the guy he was healed. He could have just tapped the man on the head or even just covered his eyes with his hands for a second to remove the blindness. But Jesus goes overboard in this very physical, expressive moment. It's shocking. It's a shocking, humble touch. He spits in the dust to make mud and then smears the mud in the man's eyes. It does sound a little disgusting with how descriptive it is. I wonder, though, if at least part of the idea is to emphasize how much Jesus is willing to do for our healing, how much he was willing to touch those who were broken or unclean. Jesus was not just going to make medicinal clay, but he applied it to the man's face. The ultimate example of this is a leper. Remembering how much we need to be touched, to be loved, to be reminded that we are loved, to be reminded that we're still alive. The living hell would be the disease that cuts you off from all touch. It's bad enough to have the disease, both ancient leprosy and modern leprosy, even though they're not exactly the same disease, did make you untouchable. Contracting leprosy made you essentially the walking dead. You would have had to wear a bell to alert people that you were coming so that they could clear out and hide from you. You were a pariah and to be shunned by everyone, except for Jesus. He touched. He healed. Again, by touching people, expressing God's holiness through physical, tangible connection. The one time I have been to a leper colony, I was very aware of how close I was to the people. These were all men in India, sitting around us, conspicuously missing body parts, fingers, hands, toes, feet, or more. And I was scared to touch them. No one was asking me to. They may not have wanted me to touch, considering how stigmatized they were. They might have been more afraid for me to touch them for my sake. But that just speaks to how broken all of this is. The ones who need good touch the most are the ones we're least likely to touch. The ugly, the sick, the unwanted, the broken need healing touch, loving touch, reminding touch, holy touch, more than anyone else. They need to know that somebody loves them and that someone is standing in for God. And God understands this best of all. Jesus, as the Son of God, did not just descend from the heavens on a cloud or pop up in the middle of a busy marketplace in a ray of sunshine or emerge from a whirlwind. He became flesh and dwelt among us. He literally became touch so that he could touch as one of us. This is incarnational love. Every time you embody love in a physical, tangible way, you are doing the same and giving incarnational love. God's love brought Jesus to us in the flesh as we minister in God's name as the children of God. We are also being God's love in the flesh. Just imagine how many people Jesus must have touched. We only have a few described in the Bible, but huge crowds flocked to see him. At least some had the idea that if they just touched Jesus, they would be healed. And that happened. But the real gift was his willingness to touch us all as one of us. He didn't just love us from a distance, but hand in hand. Early Christians had laying on of hands, anointing with oil, sharing a holy kiss. Somehow we lost that one through the ages. We turned the other cheek, right? Washed in baptism, ate together, and embraced when they followed Jesus honestly and truthfully. Truly, friends, may their example inspire us in our own study, conversation, and reflection. Yes, while we must be careful about our health and safety in these days, there's still plenty of ways we can reach out to our neighbor, the one who's hurting, the one who is alone and needs good touch. We cannot be afraid to grasp God's goodness between us. We cannot be afraid to dignify the life of the one we need to love. You may have known times that you needed someone to comfort you, to remind you that you matter, to connect with you in a good touch. It hurts when we don't have these things. The blessing of God has been placed in our hands to share. We have been given God's very holiness to extend to God's children. We are a people of touch to show the world how real God's love is, but not from a distance. Touch is from God. Take a moment. Reach out and touch somebody. Go ahead. Remember the goodness we share. If you got somebody, you can reach out and touch. It's nice. It's nice, isn't it? To God be the glory. Amen. We turn our attention now, friends,